Remember the IBM supercomputer called Watson that beat Ken Jennings in Jeopardy? Well, Watson just got a job with the healthcare company WellPoint, and Watson isn't the only robot that's taking our jobs. By the end of the century, an estimated 70% of current occupations will be replaced by automation. Let me repeat that. 70% of current occupations will be replaced. Digital labor will take over assembly lines, write articles, and even give legal advice. So where will that leave us? Eric Brynjolfsson is optimistic about this. Eric's an economist at MIT and co-author of the book Race Against the Machine, How the Digital Revolution is Accelerating Innovation, Driving Productivity, and Irreversibly Transforming Employment and the Economy. Eric, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Well, you could be optimistic about this turn of events, but robots aren't going to be for your job at MIT, are they?
I don't know. But maybe parts of it, actually. We're working more and more on online education, as you know. I think everyone's going to have to adapt.
Even talk show hosts, you think a robot could take my place? Some people say a monkey could take my place, but a robot?
Some talk show hosts, but probably not you.
So there are robots writing articles now. They're into an amazing number of areas. What are some of the other areas that when you began to look into it, you were surprised at seeing them already taking over? And what are some of the things on the near horizon?
Well, we had one of the ones that I was kind of fun for me was riding in Google's driverless car. I had been teaching my students, 5 years ago that driving a car was an example of the kind of thing that you just couldn't reduce to a set of rules. But I underestimated the power of technology, and I had a fun ride down Route 101 in a car with no driver.
Well, that's a great example. We don't know whether the litigation issues will be worked out with driverless cars or whether the technology will indeed spread. But if it does, what's a cab driver going to do? What's a truck driver going to do? And we already have issues in the workplace. How's this going to affect unemployment?
Well, I think it's important to understand technology has always been destroying jobs and it's always been creating jobs. Remember, about 90% of Americans worked on farms in 1800, and it's less than 2% now. The difference is this time it's happening a lot faster, this transformation, and so far we haven't really been keeping up in terms of the job creation side of that equation.
How much is education the issue here when your job gets replaced by a robot? Presumably, if you have skills, you can hop to the next job. But it doesn't seem as though, in some areas, the education system is doing what it needs to do to provide people with that background.
Well, you're exactly right about that. Education makes a huge difference. You can think of it as a race between technology and education. And historically, we've invested quite a bit in education, and we've done a good job in the quality of that, and we kept ahead. But recently, in the past couple decades, America has really fallen behind. No longer we're a leader in education, and it's not a coincidence at the same time we're having a harder time keeping as many people employed.
Now, when I knew I was going to talk to you about this, I thought you were going to tell us that it's mostly low-income jobs that are affected by this, but you think it'll hurt the middle-income class the most?
Yeah. About 20 years ago, it was more the lower end of the skill and educational spectrum that was hit hardest, and they're still not doing great. But more recent research has shown that the middle-skill jobs are actually being hit even harder. It turns out that a lot of jobs like, say, tax preparer, or bookkeeper, or accountant can be automated. They would do a lot of information processing, whereas other jobs like gardener or hairdresser or nanny have been more immune, and so it's been the middle income that's been hit the hardest.
Now, there are things that humans can do that computers still cannot. We have emotional intelligence. We have different skills. Even big data relies on the help of human beings to sort certain things out. But I guess the question is, will there be jobs for the skills that humans have?
Well, that's where I'm hopeful, is that computers and machines can do amazing things, but they have a very different skill set than what humans have. They're great, as you know, at crunching numbers and looking at vast amounts of data, but they don't have the same kind of creativity, the ability to read emotions and understand people. So there's a room for humans and machines to work together. In the case of data scientists, there's humans that guide those data crunching computers to find the right answers, and there's a good partnership there. Or in the case of nannies or school teachers, there's a lot of human emotional intelligence that's important, not just spitting out facts.
Eric, you folks at MIT are creating this initiative on the digital economy to try to look at some of these questions. In your book, You write that we need to race with the machines and not against them. Is that to suggest maybe I need a robot co-host to sort of ease into the future?
Well, absolutely. I think that's our big hope, is that we can find more ways that we can use machines not to replace existing jobs, but to combine with people to create new jobs that never existed before, and in that sense, race with machines. We're calling this the sort of the grand challenge of our generation. Our engineering friends have met some grand challenges in terms of making, for instance, the driverless car we talked about earlier, and now it's time for economists and entrepreneurs and social scientists to step up and invent new organizations and even a whole new economy that can take advantage of these technologies.
Hey, Eric, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Eric Brynjolfsson is an economist at MIT. He's co-author of the book Race Against the Machine.